I've always been proud to say that I work for the Department of Justice because of that for which it stands, which is an unyielding commitment to the rule of law and to the safety and security of the citizens we serve.
I think it's a very positive step that a special counsel has been appointed.
So Bob Mueller will take over the FBI investigation.
Yes.
You want to make sure that you have somebody who doesn't have to reinvent the wheel.
As a special counsel, Robert Mueller has the same authority as a U.S. attorney.
How will the appointment of former FBI Director Robert Mueller affect the other investigations that are ongoing?
Director of the FBI, I think, is well thought of by people on both sides of the aisle.
This will restore the American people's trust in institutions.
He's as good as it gets. I mean, his credentials are impeccable.
Robert Mueller is solid ground.
More amazed Washington voices reacting to what's been going on in the nation's capital. In the garden provided by Soundgarden, we're noting the passing at age 52 of Chris Cornell. You'll hear more of that music all this hour. This is The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry. Former FBI Director Robert Mueller has now been appointed by the Department of Justice as special counsel to lead the investigation into Russian interference in the election. Former Trump National Security Advisor Michael Flynn and campaign chairman Paul Manafort, among many others, are being investigated. This was a Justice Department call made solely by Rod Rosenstein, the Deputy Attorney General. It came as much of a surprise to the White House as James Comey's firing at the FBI came to him. Reports say the White House had about 30 minutes' notice. As Mueller settles into his job, the chair of which might be something you would pay to ride at a Six Flags amusement park, it was revealed that weeks before the inauguration, Mike Flynn, former National Security Advisor and someone now very much at the center of this investigation in every way, notified President Trump's transition team that the FBI knew about and was investigating him for being a paid lobbyist for Turkey during the campaign. Nevertheless, Flynn still got the job. 24 days later, he was fired. President Trump's characterization of all this on Twitter, the latest Twitter anyway, the greatest witch hunt of a politician in American history. Well, if that's the case, the hunter has a lot of experience then. Robert Mueller preceded James Comey as the FBI director, serving from 01 to 2013 under both the Bush and Obama administrations, longest serving director since J. Edgar Hoover. Robert Ray, former federal prosecutor and independent counsel for the Whitewater investigation, currently partner at Thompson and Knight, helps us out here. Robert Ray, thanks for joining us again today.
So soon.
So soon, indeed.
Great to be back.
Who is Mr. Mueller in this particular case, and who was it who authorized his investigation and authority right now?
Well, ordinarily, the authority would come from the Attorney General. In this instance, the Attorney General recused himself. The task then falls to the Deputy Attorney General. There's no question that the special counsel is an executive branch appointee first. So ultimately, that person reports, I suppose, in a technical sense, to the president, who is the executive authority. But the regulations are designed to provide insulation. I mean, ultimately, the appointee is answerable to the deputy attorney general, but obviously with an enormous amount of freedom and independence.
But he can still be fired by the president.
Yeah, and he could be fired by the deputy attorney general, yes. Now, understand also, remember, a special counsel has a specific task that that individual is charged to undertake, and that is to decide whether or not crimes have been committed. That's the job of a prosecutor. Bob Mueller has served as the FBI director, but in this task, he's a prosecutor. And his task, again, is not to be a fact gatherer, but only to gather evidence necessary to decide whether any crimes have been committed. As far as the public's right to know in public session, that's a task more suited, at least in the first instance, to Congress. And so those two tasks, at least theoretically, can go on simultaneously. Congress can investigate through its investigatory authority, through a select committee or through the existing intelligence committee, you know, whatever it may be, in order so that the public is assured, you know, what the facts are and where they lead and so on and so forth. Now, there are instances where there's a bit of overlap, and that creates and has created in the past some problems. In other words, to the extent that Congress treads over ground that Mr. Mueller may want to, you know, exercise in terms of deciding whether or not prosecutions should be brought, Congress will be reluctant to interfere with that the prerogative of the special counsel to decide whether or not a criminal prosecution is warranted.
That's the case where congressional testimony might interfere or congressional immunity might interfere with the prosecution later on of someone in a criminal matter.
And I suspect we're going to face that even in the, you know, the immediate future. Congress may well have an interest in having the former FBI director, Jim Comey, testify. If he testifies publicly, I mean, that's testimony under oath. It's public. That may be seen in, you know, by Mr. Mueller, at least at this early stage, as being in some way potentially jeopardizing what it is he would, you know, be prepared to do with regard to the criminal investigation. So there'll be some tug and pull there. But, I mean, all of this is new territory. I mean, understand that Mr. Mueller's appointment under the special counsel regulations, that's a first. That's never happened before. The only other precedent for this was when then Deputy Attorney General Jim Comey appointed Patrick Fitzgerald. But Patrick Fitzgerald was at the time, a sitting United States attorney in the Northern District of Illinois in Chicago. So that wasn't an appointment actually by invoking these special counsel regulations. This is the first time they've been used. So we're in new territory here.
And Mueller, of course, understands he's in new territory.
Of course.
Does that make his job easier or harder?
Well, I think the most difficult job of a special counsel, independent counsel, special prosecutor is the ramp-up time necessary to get your office fully in place. The fact that he's been an FBI director and a U.S. attorney and has served in the highest levels of the Justice Department means that I think his ramp-up time will be considerably shorter than otherwise would be the case. So I expect he'll get to the task rather quickly, and he'll take over the existing investigation, as I understand it, being directed out of the Eastern District of Virginia in Alexandria.
Can he investigate anything?
Not anything, but his charter is fairly wide. Obviously, it is the on both sides of the Russia probe, which would mean both investigating the current administration as well as investigating the Russians, and anything that he feels is appropriate within that broad charter. To the extent that he needs additional authority, he is certainly permitted to, and the regulations contemplate that he would go back to Rod Rosenstein for an expansion of authority if necessary.
Finally, we've got this curious case of Mr. Rosenstein, who it looks to me as though is the equivalent of someone on a subway car pulling the cord and putting the brakes on everything. This was his call.
Yes.
That's
a big decision.
That's a big one.
Especially when you've only been on the job for, 3 weeks?
I mean, that's all by itself. That's astounding to contemplate.
Well, someone asked me, if you had to give advice to a special counsel, what advice would you give? And I remember when I was appointed independent counsel, the first thing that I read was Leon Jaworski's The Right and the Power. I went back over the last few days just to review the conclusion of that book. And it really had, in my view, then and now, two takeaways. The first is the obvious, but it's important to remind ourselves of this, and that is while the system isn't perfect, the system does ultimately work, meaning, American constitutional government. And the second takeaway, of course, was the principle that was vindicated then, I hope wasn't vindicated by my investigation, and I'm sure will be vindicated in this investigation, among other things, and that is that no person, including the president, is above the law.
Robert Reyes, former federal prosecutor and independent counsel for the Whitewater investigation during the Clinton years. He's currently partner at Thompson and Knight. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
Former National Security Advisor Michael Flynn only gets deeper and deeper into all this as Mueller comes on board. Besides the allegations about Russia, Flynn's relationship to Turkey, a relationship we learn is worth more than $500,000, reports say that may have led directly to a decision Flynn made as incoming National Security Advisor relating to the fight against the Islamic State during the mere 24 days he had that job. Karen Tumulty is a national political correspondent for The Washington Post. She says everything is up in the air as Mueller takes over.
What is known is that it was known that he had alerted the Trump team, the transition team, the key decision makers, that he had this conflict and that the decision was made to hire him anyway. It once again kind of speaks to how, with Donald Trump, loyalty seems to sort of trump everything.
Well, it raises questions about Mike Pence, who, you know, weeks ago was this poor victim of Mr. Flynn didn't tell him the whole truth, and this vice president who is above reproach is suddenly, you know, angered at Mike Flynn, and that's why he resigns. That whole story seems to be hogwash.
There are so many things that we have discovered just within the last 8 days that would raise questions about Mike Pence, the vice president, including the fact that in mid-February, the day after Flynn is fired, there is a meeting at the White House with James Comey. And at that point, President Trump asks both Mike Pence and the Attorney General, Jeff Sessions, to leave the room so that he can have a private word with the FBI director. The fact that this was really a bad thing to do, you know, that somebody in this room should have exercised a little bit of common sense, that the president should not be having these private conversations with the FBI director at this moment, should have occurred to everyone, and especially Mike Pence, who is reputation is, you know, he's often the grown-up in the room. He is the old Washington hand. He's the guy, the stickler to procedure. He and Sessions should not have left that room.
It appears to be clear that people knew that Flynn was being investigated for Turkey, that he disclosed that he was being investigated for his relationship with Turkey. It didn't seem to be any kind of an issue for the Trump administration.
The fact that this information is coming out, this is information that could ultimately prove to be legal protection for General Flynn, suggests that there may be more in this pipeline.
More in what sense?
In the sense that either he or people around him have decided, we already saw him make an effort to get immunity, which doesn't appear to be going anywhere. So in this case, I don't know their sourcing, but it's not out of the realm of possibility that this is an effort to sort of immunize himself through the media. The scrutiny is definitely headed towards 1600 Pennsylvania
right.
Avenue here.
I mean, it's a very short list. I mean, it's Pence, it's Reince Priebus, it's Donald Trump, and maybe one or two others.
And probably, you know, whoever was in the room urging that Flynn be hired despite these obvious problems, perceived or actual.
Karen Tumulty, keep up the good work. Thanks so much. It's great to talk to you again.
I appreciate it. Thank you.